So when the opportunity presented itself, were you wary of it, or did you jump at the opportunity?
No, I was excited about it. But, you know, like I had said before, there were some things that I wanted to talk to about with Dan, and I'm sure there were some things that he wanted to talk to me about, but nothing, no major hurdles or anything like that. It is just we hadn't discussed it, and this was all new to us. And so once we were able to sit down and talk, and it was almost like I never left to a certain degree, and I was excited about the opportunity.
So you come in and you're coaching a different team than what you had. You had a team here in Cleveland that was a championship contender. You went to LA, they were a championship contender, so you were dealing with a lot of veterans. This is a young team. A lot of people say, well, Mike Brown's never really had to coach up young players. He always had a veteran team. Are you up to the task, and why should people believe that you can coach up the young guys and turn it into a championship team?
Well, if you think about it, when I first got here, our biggest piece was a young talent. He was our leader. He was our go-to guy. He was our focal point. And we had some veterans around him. We had some guys that were in their prime around him, too, and so it fit really well. I feel like it doesn't matter if you're a veteran or if you're a young guy or if you're in your prime, the game of basketball is basketball. The one thing about having a younger overall group is they have the ability to practice longer. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think practice will turn into perfection in time, and so in my opinion, that's more of a bonus than anything else.
All right, let's look at some of the guys that are going to be the key players on this team. Kyrie Irving, give me your thoughts on him, having coached against him or game planned against him or watched him play from the other side. Now you're coaching him.
Unbelievable talent. I mean, he can obviously, he has a chance to be one of the best, not next year or for the next few years. He has a chance to be one of the best ever, and the sky's the limit. It's going to be determined how far he wants to go with it. And, you know, he is a young guy that's developing, that has had a lot of success early on. Obviously, as your point guard and as the type of person and player he is, we're going to expect him to do a lot. Not necessarily, I'm saying, on the floor offensively. He's going to have to carry his load on that end of the floor. But defensively, on the floor as a leader, off the floor as a leader, he's going to have to continue to grow and develop in those areas. And I see that happening now. I mean, I was talking to him the other day, and he's organized. He's called a lot of guys on our team, and tried to get them together to have them work together, whether it's here or someplace else. And when you start getting that type of leadership in the summertime, where your best player or one of your two or three best players starts getting the group together on his own for guys to, you know, to have camaraderie and so on and so forth on the floor, off the floor, and then to work and sweat together in the summertime, that's a bonus. That in my opinion, that means your program is heading in the right direction. And that's something that he's doing, and that's something that not that I wish that he continues to do, but that I expect him to do because of the type of person and player that he's going to be and that he is now.
How about with Deion and Tristan, two other lottery picks that are part of the core of this team?
It's similar to Kyrie in that, you know, all those guys, yes, they're young, but they have an opportunity to be able to lead this team on the floor and off the floor, and they're about the right stuff, which is what you like. When you have guys that are about the right stuff and or good human beings on top of having talent, then you're going to have a chance, and my expectations for those guys are the same. Now, obviously, their game's different, but Deion is a guy that's similar to Kyrie that can score from three levels. But my biggest thing, and I even shared this with Deion, is, hey, there's no reason why I'm turning on games last year during the regular season and during the playoffs and seeing the Pacers play and seeing the New York Knicks play and all these announcers are ranting and raving about how great a defender Stevenson is and how great a defender Shumpert is. And when I watch our games from last year, I don't hear that as much. To me, that's just as important as him being able to score the basketball, that he uses his athleticism, his grit, his mental and physical toughness to be an elite defender. And that's something that I'm going to challenge him on a daily basis, because he can take it to that level. And, you know, a guy like Tristan is a guy that can do a lot of everything for you, both ends of the floor. You know he's going to bring it every night. He has a presence. He works extremely hard. But, again, just like the other two guys, he's on track to being one of the leaders or one of the voices for this team.
Mike Brown, Cavs head coach, is our guest. Mike, the two newest additions in the first round, you get a big and a shooting guard, small forward. Talk to me first here about the number one overall pick, Mr. Bennett. Your thoughts on him when the Cavaliers, Chris, and everybody decided to go that direction?
Well, the first thing that jumps out is you like his versatility. Even if he just plays the quote-unquote power forward position, he's a guy that can play inside and outside on the offense end of the floor. He can offense a rebound. He can run the floor. He obviously has some range on his jump shot. And then on the flip side, when you talk about the defense end of the floor, you know, you like his feet. You like his length. You know, he might measure out at 6'7" with shoes on, but when you talk about his standing reach, you know, he has a higher standing reach than a guy like Kevin Love. And then you couple that with his athleticism and his size, and now you can see that he has a chance to be a high-level defender, and not just a high-level defender guarding the power forward, but being a high-level defender guarding some guys on the perimeter too. And you know, something that he has to continue focusing on is that end of the floor, because he's so talented offensively. And being a big guy and being asked of me to have to guard different positions at different times, whether it's because at the end of the shot clock we switch a pick and roll or something like that, he's going to have to be really conscious of making sure that he is always ready to play in terms of being in the best shape possible.
What about the Russian assassin, Sergei Karasev, a coach's son? You got to love that, eh?
I do love that. You know, I like the A you threw in there. You know,
I got to respect the Canadian players on the team. Right?
I appreciate that. I might have to get a little taste of that A. Is this pretty good or not?
That's good, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You can use it any time. It's just, you know, it's like duct tape. You can use it any time.
Just throw it out there.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Sergei is exciting from the standpoint that he's a complete basketball player on the offense end of the floor. I mean, he can pass with either hand. He can finish with either hand. He can score at the rim. He has a pull-up game. He can shoot the three off the dribble, catch and shoot, or on the move. So you like the versatility that he brings offensively. He, to a certain degree, has traits like a Manu down in San Antonio. Now, I haven't been around him, so you know that Manu's mental and physical toughness is off the charts. You know that Manu's athleticism is off the charts. And those things about Sergei, I will see when he gets here, and I've coached him. Defensively, because of his size and his intellect, he's going to have an opportunity to guard some different types of players too on that end of the floor, and that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to.
You got a defensive player in the second round, though, in Carrick Felix. Was that, you know, Chris coming to you and saying, relax, I'm going to get you some defensive help here?
That was. I hadn't seen him play, Carrick play a lot on tape. I only saw highlights. I liked what I saw when it came to the highlights, but at the end of the day, because of the way that this draft was so uniquely panned out in terms of not having a just one or two guys that could possibly be your first pick, I watched a lot of tape on that pick and didn't have a chance to get to 31 or 33. And, you know, like I said, the history of what Chris Grant and the staff have done here draft-wise, for me, it's easy to follow suit, especially when he's talking about getting a tough-nosed guy like Carrick.
Was your biggest challenge when you took this job and the edict from Dan, make us better defensively?
No, I mean, I feel like that we will get there. I always think at the end of the day, defense is about effort and will and want. And we will impose that. If it's not imposed already, we will impose it on our players. And I think we'll be good on that end of the floor. And that's what the exciting part is about this, because when you have a guy like Kyrie, when you have a guy like Deion, when you have a guy that's working as hard as he can on his offensive game like Tristan and some other pieces, you think you're going to score. So now we have to make sure that we move up in the defensive rankings and all the statistical categories.
Is your goal in your first year back, Mike Brown 2.0, to be in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference?
No, you know, my goal is to win the whole thing. And I don't care if it's this year, next year, or 5 years from now. That's always my goal. But I think, you know, I would be foolish to not think short term right now instead of long term. And so in the short term, I'm thinking about developing a certain culture with these guys. And when I mean that, I'm talking about a summer culture. And, you know, I've sat down face to face with all of our roster guys and all of our draft picks, and I've expressed to them what I'm about and what I expect, not October 1st or November 1st, but today. And that will continue on a daily basis. You know, I plan on being out in summer league the whole time. I don't think I've ever been out for summer league the entire time, but I will most likely be around the entire time. And I won't coach any games, but I will also actively be on the floor with our team during practice sessions out in summer league, because I want our guys to understand and feel that we're not going to get better on October 1st. We're not waiting for that date. We're getting better yesterday and today and tonight and tomorrow morning going forward.
Your coaching staff, Bernie Bickerstaff's a part of it, Jim Boylan's a part of it. How important was it to bring those guys on board, and why will they make a difference?
I'm extremely excited about the staff. I think we have versatility when it comes to the staff, and it's very diverse in the backgrounds of what they have experienced on the floor and off the floor, and they're all winners. They all have a track record of winning. Jim Boylan is great on both sides of the ball. He's obviously been in my seat before.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a fan of Scott Skiles. I don't know him at all. I mean, I know him enough to say hello, but I've always respected what he's done with his teams. And Jimmy Boylan's been with him his last three stops for multiple years. And so I look at a guy, and Jim Boylan is somebody that I can definitely learn a lot from. And he can have a big impact on the program on both sides of the ball because of his vast knowledge. You talk about Bernie, you know, he was part of a championship team back in the 70s, and he's been around, whether it's a GM or a head coach or an assistant coach, he's been there, done that. And he's always a guy that can pull me by my shirt collar and say, hey, young fella, slow down a little bit, you know, or pull back a little bit, because I'm a driver. And so it's good to have a guy like Bernie with the vast knowledge that he has in this game at my side.
Mike, welcome back to Cleveland. We appreciate the time. And do you think Damon Jones, or as I refer to him, Eamon Owens, no D, no J, will be upset if he hears that comment?
He's going to be upset. He'll come back at me. You know, I'm going to put it out there. He might talk about my weight or something like that. My weight is under control. I'm getting better at it. But I wanted to put that out there so he doesn't kill me in that area first. And I do love Damon and Danielle.
Thanks, Mike. Best of luck.
Thank you.